read the last verse in this chapter, verse number 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. The scripture says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's read that together. If you have your Bible open here, let's read it together out loud. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Dennis, if you would, to please pray. Well, as all of you know, today we are having our Thanksgiving and Christmas fellowship. This is something that we have done annually now for a number of years because it is more difficult to get everybody together on Thanksgiving and on Christmas. We try to have a fellowship somewhere between the two. And since this is a Thanksgiving, which has to do with giving thanks to God, and Christmas, which has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his first coming into this world, fellowship, I'm going to preach a real simple message this morning. It's simple, but I do believe it's important. But the title of the message is Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Back a number of years ago when I first got into the ministry, my pastor at the time told me that if I was ever struggling with something to say, on an occasion when I had to preach, to just get up and brag on Jesus. Now, I'm not really struggling for anything to say at this point, but what I'm going to do this morning is brag on Jesus, if that'll be all right. And I'm going to give you some reasons, just a few reasons, why you and I should thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I chose the particular verse that I did. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, Paul says, thanks be unto God. That's thanksgiving. He says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Well, that's Christmas. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's unspeakable gift. We do not have words in our vocabulary that are adequate and sufficient enough to describe the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's unspeakable gift. The Bible tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, he what? He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So this is a verse about giving thanks and the gift of God. And with that thought in mind, I want to spend just a few minutes reminding you and reminding myself of some reasons why we should be thankful for God's unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And obviously what I'm going to give you is not an exhaustive list of reasons. If we were to compile a list, just write down a list of all the reasons why we should be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, then like the Apostle John said, the world could not contain all of the books that would be written. So this isn't exhaustive. It's just a few reasons, some things for us to think about at this particular time of the year. And I want to start out with what I believe, and this is my opinion, but I believe it can be supported from the Scripture. The most important reason why we should be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to say we ought to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. So many things that go through your mind whenever you're trying to get a message like this together, and you realize that you're constrained by time because in our Baptist churches you only get a certain amount of time to preach. Amen. Just get a certain amount. At a certain point, people are just going to shut you off. I realize that since we're eating, some of you done already shut me off. Your mind's over there instead of right here. So I'm constrained by time, and it's hard to figure out what you want to try to put into a message like this. And I tried to come up with what I thought would be the most important reason. And to me personally, I am the most thankful for the fact that he is the Savior of the world. The Bible says this. I'm going to give you some scripture. We're not going to turn there for the sake of time, but I'm going to make reference. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." That's what John the Apostle said in his first epistle. We have seen. Do you know that John actually got to see him with his eyes? He saw with his eyes the one that we will one day see, thank God. But he actually got to see. He said, "We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Back in his gospel, John chapter 4, verse number 42, you read where a group of Samaritans said this. They said, "We have heard him ourselves." You remember the story? The Lord Jesus Christ had some contact with a Samaritan woman there at Jacob's well, and she went back into the city and told the men. And later on, these men meet the Lord Jesus, and they get to hear him for themselves. And they say this, they say, "We have heard him ourselves and know." Not we think. We know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's what they said about the Lord Jesus Christ. After they heard what he had to say, they heard the testimony of that lady, but then they actually got to hear him with their own ears. They saw him with their eyes. They heard him with their ears, and they came to this conclusion after spending time in his presence. We know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Paul says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. He says that he's the Savior of all men. And that's what I'm talking about when I say the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of all men. He's not just the Savior of a select group of people, a chosen group of people. He is the Savior of all men, the Bible says. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. When he came into this world and died on the cross, he didn't just die for a certain group of people. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. Every man. Isn't that good news this morning? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, this is what I know. He was dying for me. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was dying for you. That's good news. Just knowing that when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. He died. He tasted death for every man. This is what the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 1. We're not going to go there, but back in Matthew chapter 1, you have Matthew's account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came into this world the first time. Two names are given there in that passage for the Lord. There is the name Emmanuel. And that name really is a revelation of who he was. Because that name, Emmanuel, means God with us. So whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, as the Bible says, that was actually God manifest in the flesh. As Abraham said, that was God providing himself a lamb. That was God in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, the Bible says. That's who he was. But there's another name given there, and that's the name Jesus. That's the one we're probably more familiar with, the name Jesus. That name is a revelation of why he came. Why he came. It says this, Matthew 1:21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You understand that when he came to this earth the first time, born of a virgin, that he came to be the Savior of the world. That's why he came. And that to me, as I said, is the number one reason why we should be thankful for God's unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because every person needs a Savior. Every person. The greatest need of the world is not more education. Education can be good, but at the same time, education can be bad, depending on what kind of education it is. We don't need really more education. You can't educate yourself into heaven. We don't need more programs to help people turn over a new leaf and all that kind of business. I'm not saying all that stuff's bad, but look, this idea of just reforming yourself and getting better and changing from the way you used to be and getting a good education and becoming successful and all that, you can do all of that, every bit of it, and still die lost and go straight to hell.
Yes.
What I needed was a Savior. What you needed, maybe what you still need, is a Savior. The Bible says that we're all sinners, every last one of us. I was born a sinner. That's how I came into this world. I was born a sinner. I didn't become a sinner because I sinned. I sinned because I am a sinner. I was born a sinner. And because I'm a sinner by nature, I'm a sinner by choice. That's the same with you. And that's the thing that people really need to get their head around, because some folk think that they're not really all that bad. And they're thinking, you know, I don't sin as much as old so-and-so does. They're real pious and self-righteous. None of us even comprehend how much we sin on a daily basis. We don't even have the foggiest idea how many times, just in a single 24-hour period of time, that we come short of the glory of God. So it's amazing to me that we can be so pious and self-righteous, but oftentimes we think, well, I'm not as bad as they are. I haven't done that, and I haven't said this, and I haven't gone there. And we think because we're not really doing a whole lot of sin, when in reality we are doing a whole lot of sin. We think because we're not, that our good's going to outweigh our bad, and when we hit the judgment, then we're going to be all right. That's not how it's going to work out, folks. Whether you do, which you do, but whether you do a whole lot of bad stuff or not, that really isn't the issue. The issue is that you're a sinner. In your nature, you were born a sinner, and that is why now you sin and come short of the glory of God. And what you need more than anything else is a Savior, because you can't save yourself. You have to be saved. You can't save yourself. That's the greatest need of any person that has ever lived, is living, or ever shall live. The greatest need. And that's why, to me, this is the greatest reason to be thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what I needed above all else was a Savior. I needed somebody that could do something about my sin. Somebody that could give me forgiveness so that I could go to heaven. I needed that. And thank God He sent His Son to be my Savior. See, your Savior this morning? I know He's the Savior of the world in the sense that He died for everybody. But let me ask you something. Is He your personal Savior this morning? Has there ever been a time in your life where you realized, I am a sinner, and you quit comparing yourself with other people and thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think, and just fell before God in His mercy and said, I am a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and trusted the Savior that He sent for you. Has there ever been that time? If not, then contrary to what any preacher or anybody else in this world has told you, you're not saved and you're not ready to meet God today. You say, I'm in church on Sunday morning. Doesn't that count for something? Well, when it comes to going to heaven, it really doesn't count for anything. You could sit right here in this building until your rear end begins to grow into the seat you're sitting on and still go to hell when you leave this world. Are y'all listening to me? You don't go to heaven by going to church, by being baptized, by being good and all. You got to have a Savior. You've got to come to the realization, I am a sinner. I can't save myself. I am not good. I am not righteous. I am nothing that I got to be. And there's only one, just one, that can take care of my problem, and that's Jesus Christ. The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other. Isn't that what it says? Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no one else. He is the Savior of the world. He said himself, no man comes to the Father but by me. That's what he said. And it really breaks down to this. In this world today, you have those people that have come to that point where they realize they're a sinner, that Jesus is the one that paid for their sins, and they're trusting him and him alone for their salvation. You got that group of people. And then you got another group that's counting on something else to get them to heaven. That group that's counting on something else, when they stand before God, if they have not changed, are going to hear the words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." No matter what good deeds they did, no matter how many people they helped out, no matter how many charitable organizations they gave to and children's hospitals they helped out and all that other stuff that people pride themselves in. Hey, it's good to support these things if they're all right, but giving to support that isn't going to get you into heaven, friend. God's going to see that as a work of iniquity that you trusted in instead of his son, Jesus Christ. Do you have him as your personal Savior this morning? If you don't, let me say this. I wouldn't leave this service today without trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You say, when will Jesus save me? Just as soon as you will understand and believe that you are a guilty sinner and he's the only one who can save you. And you call on him and ask him to save you. Doesn't the Bible say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? If you're here this morning lost, the greatest news I'm going to give you, you can leave here saved. Folks, we ought to thank God for Jesus Christ because he's the Savior of the world. That's what we needed. But let me give you another one. And this one here, really, again, as I said, just trying to come up with what I could put in and condense it down, this one here is going to cover a lot of territory right here. And this is what I called it. We ought to thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the source of whatever we need. He's the source of whatever we need. That covers a lot of ground. But listen here to some scripture. Again, I'm just going to give it to you. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 19 says this. It says, it pleased the Father that in him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father that in his Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ, all, not some, not the majority, but all fullness dwell. And when you go on in that same book to chapter 2, you get what I consider to be some more enlightenment on what that means. Colossians 2, verse 9, this is what the Bible says. In him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What is the Godhead, by the way? What does that terminology refer to? Well, that's going to be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, right? That's what we call the Godhead. And the Bible says that in the Lord Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, which to me means that everything that's in the Godhead is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, all the fullness of the Godhead is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it says again, Colossians 1:19. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father that everything in the Godhead be in his Son, Jesus Christ. Which would mean that he's all we need. He's all we need. He is the source of whatever you need. Everything, listen to me, everything that God in the Godhead has to offer. Y'all listening to me? Everything that is in the Godhead, everything that the Godhead has to offer is in Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead is in him. So what does that mean? That means that I need not look anywhere else. He's the source of whatever I need. I don't know what you need this morning. I have a little bit of an understanding about some of you and what you're dealing with, but I don't understand or know what you need this morning, not in its entirety, but I can tell you that whatever you need, you can find that in Jesus Christ. whatever you need, it's in Him. I am afraid that sometimes, and this is really, if you understand a little bit about the book of Colossians, you understand that one reason why Paul said some of the things that he did there is because some people had come along and talked those Christians into looking other places than the Lord Jesus Christ for what they needed. And I am afraid that oftentimes we Christians now today cast our eyes somewhere other than on the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to some other source to supply whatever it is that we need in our life at whatever time it is. But folks, whatever we need is in Him. I'm just trying to point you to Jesus Christ this morning so that you'll rely on Him more than you will anybody else, so that your confidence will be in Him instead of anyone else. You and I, we need to make sure that above everyone else in this world, no matter who they are, no matter how well-meaning they are, no matter how good they've been to us, we need to make sure that our confidence at all times is in Jesus Christ. Because in Him is whatever we need. You need comfort this morning? The Bible says there's consolation in Christ. You need hope this morning? The Bible says Jesus Christ, which is our hope. A lot of people feel hopeless. If they'll look to the Lord Jesus Christ, He can give them hope. You need peace? He said, "My peace I give unto you." He's got the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Are you brokenhearted? The Bible says He binds up the brokenhearted. Your heart broke this morning? Don't y'all believe Jesus can mend that broken heart? He's the source of whatever you need. If you need light, Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." You need light? Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the source of whatever you need. If you're empty on the inside and you're hungry and thirsty, then He said, "I'm the bread of life and the water of life. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that cometh to me shall never thirst." Whatever you need, He's the source of that. If you need deliverance, the Bible says, "He that the Son makes free is free indeed." Whatever it is that's got you bound up and held captive this morning, there is somebody that can give you what you need, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can set you free. You need deliverance from some stronghold, something that's binding you up? Jesus is the answer. You need a friend? You need a friend this morning? He'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll be the best friend you've ever had. If you'll just give Him a chance, He'll be the best friend you've ever had. Whatever you need. You need wisdom? The Bible says that in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You need wisdom? Well, He's the source. You need healing? By His stripes we are healed, the Bible says. He healeth all our diseases. There's healing power in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need truth? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." If you need strength, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is a strength to those that trust Him. Whatever you need. You need protection? He's a shield and a buckler to those that trust Him, the Bible says. His name is a high tower, and those that run into it will find safety, the Bible teaches. Whatever you need. You need direction? Well, you just acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll direct your path, the Bible says. You feel alone? You feel alone? You ever feel lonely? Jesus Christ said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Y'all getting the picture? It's like some of you nodding off. You getting the picture? Why should I be thankful for Jesus Christ? Well, I ought to be thankful because He's the Savior of the world, and I ought to be thankful because He's the source of whatever I need. No matter where I'm at any point in my life, you hearing me? No matter where I'm at, no matter what's going on, Jesus Christ is always the answer. He's the source of whatever I need, and for that I'm thankful. Isn't it good? Isn't it good, folks, to know that every single day of your life, if you're saved, you have a relationship with the One who has the solution to your problem? Isn't that good? To know that He can take care of whatever it is. If you feel like nobody understands, well, the Bible says He was tempted in all points like as you are, yet without sin. Wherever it is you're walking, He's been there before. He's the source. And here's the last thing. I'm just going to give you three things. He's the Savior of the world. He's the source of whatever we need. We sang about this one some this morning. I'm thankful for God's unspeakable gift because he's the soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One day he's going to show up. Amen. He's already come the first time, but thank God he's coming again. Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ is who I'm talking about. James chapter 5, verse number 9 says, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Wouldn't it be good if he just interrupted our service right now? Amen. Just showed up right now. Just blasted the trumpet, and those of us that are saved just went up through here and met the Lord in the air. What a blessing that would be. It could happen. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Jesus said, "Surely I come quickly." John 14, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And he said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's where I want to be. I want to be where he is. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. The Father sent the Son the first time to be the Savior of the world. He's going to send him the next time to take those of us who are saved out of this world. You realize that's your hope this morning? The next coming, the rapture, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for us. That's what the Bible says we ought to be looking for. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I ought to be looking for him to come back at any moment. Just looking for it. I ought to be longing for him to come back. When Jesus said to John, "Surely I come quickly," you know what John said? He said, "Amen." Amen's a Bible word, folks. And you never know what kind of preaching I might do around here if some of you people would say amen every once in a while. He said, "Amen," and then he said this. He said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That ought to be our prayer this morning. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Here's a thought for you to ponder. You don't have a problem in your life right now as a saved person that the rapture wouldn't take care of right now. How about that? No matter how big of an obstacle, no matter how big of a problem, if he showed up right now and took us out of this world, those of us that are saved, that problem would be no more. Be gone. What a blessing that would be. I thank God, and I don't know when he's coming. I do know he is. I believe it will be soon. But I thank God that no matter what the scoffers say, the Bible says that in the last days, the last time, scoffers will come saying, "Where's the promise of his coming?" No matter what they say, I'm thankful that one day Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to show up. Are you ready for the Lord to come back? Do you know him as your Savior? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I'm sure you could think of a whole lot more. But the whole point of the message is that you and I ought to forever be thankful to God for his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day, and as we prepare to have invitation now, I ask that you please clear our minds of distraction. Help us to be able to concentrate. And Lord, if there's somebody here right now that's under conviction and they sense that they're being dealt with, they realize that they're not saved, I pray that at this time, they would come and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what we need, you have the solution. And we pray with the Apostle John, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. Listen.